Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to have quite a show today because it's talking about your life your way. And we have two guests with us today. One's in the U.S. and the other one is in France. And due to the wonders of technology, Lynn Hull and Julie Molnar are going to be with us today talking about their wonderful publication, Your Life, Your Way, The Essential Guide for Women. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you very much. Now,
We're really pleased to be here.
Well, it's wonderful. I mean, when you think that, let's see, Lynn, you're in Paris, I believe.
I'm in France.
You're in France,
midnight,
yes.
Midnight here.
Okay, and yes, what is it, 1 o'clock in the morning for you, midnight?
Midnight. Mm-hmm.
Midnight, and Julie, where are you in the U.S.?
I'm in Michigan, so it's 6 p.m. here. Much more reasonable hour for me.
Well, you two ladies are really dynamic. Each of you, in your own way, have chosen to walk your own path of individuality. And that's what your book, Your Life, Your Way, is about, is discovering that individuality. And Lynn, you're a certified professional coactive coach and a coactive leadership program, a graduate. You do this wherever you are. Involved also in developing leadership. Now, you have lived in the UK for most of your life, but you and your husband have fulfilled one of your dreams, and you reside in France, which you just absolutely love. You love. And Julie, you are also involved in the same kind of coaching practice. You are a mom and living in Michigan. You're a career woman full-time. Both of you have a passion for this. How did the two of you ever get together?
Well, it's a rather interesting story. We were both in a leadership program, and this leadership program was about 9 months in duration, and within that nine-month period, we were required to attend a retreat out in California, and each retreat lasted for 5-6 days where we went through experiential learning. I was part of that group, and Lynn was part of that group. She flew all the way from the UK to California, and one of the requirements in the class was that we co-lead a workshop with another participant in the class.
Oh.
And so Lynn and I decided to do that together. Wondered how are we going to do this since she lives in the UK and I live in Michigan, but Lynn was kind enough to fly back over to the States, and we did a workshop for a group of women, and the workshop was titled, Hey Lady, Welcome to the Second Half.
Ah.
And it was because we had shared with one another our passion about midlife and what's possible for women at midlife. And that's how we met.
Now, when you put this book together, the two of you had a number of stories that you, and we'll talk about some of them today, but one of the things that I found that was prevalent throughout the book is that it was very, very important that rules and paradigms be sort of put to the side. Because when we take and have a mindfulness of where we are right at a moment, that often gives us the freedom of choice. And so often we can get preoccupied with other things that are not so significant. That I found very obvious. And I was intrigued with that. Because even though you give certain recommendations, you want people to be in that space where they are to be non-judgmental about themselves, about what they want to do, but they're just to sort of go with the flow. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the important thing here is that the only rule is there are no rules. And it's really important for an individual to look at what it is they want and what they're choosing to do. And that can lead to one of two things. It can lead to either doing something else, or it can lead to doing the same thing with a different approach, a different perspective on what it is they're doing. So one of the things we emphasize is that everybody, and obviously we're focusing on mature women here, should come from a place of choice.
When I think about the world we live in today, it is so different from the world of our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers. I was just listening to a program yesterday where there was some law in Louisiana, finally, that was overturned. We're talking about 2008, folks, and this law has been in place for a few hundred years in Louisiana, and it was the head and master law. A woman had no rights over her money or even to get insurance without permission from her husband. This goes back to medieval days, you know, in England, I think. I mean, just in Europe somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's unbelievable that we still have some of these things even on the books. But this is a way of thinking that offers an opportunity for women who have felt that they were locked into certain paradigms to take the time to discover. Lynn, let me ask you a question. As a woman, what was the biggest challenge for you to overcome, to be able to empower yourself, to just be who you are, and to be knowing that what you are is enough?
The biggest hurdle for me was to learn that I deserve and I matter. I mean, I'm just as important as everybody else around me. So I spent a lot of my time fixing, serving other people, and just to realize that I actually deserve, I don't have to earn in order to deserve. And I don't mean money, I mean favors, I mean winning brownie points, however you put it. It's just there that we deserve. We've got a life to live. It's not a rehearsal. We can't go back. All we can do is keep looking forward, learn from where we've come from, and move forward. That, for me, was a really big lesson to learn.
Now, what was the step that enabled you to recognize that, that was so important to you, that you had value as a human being? You didn't have to have someone give you permission to have that value, but you accepted it for yourself. How did you know that you were there?
How did I know that I needed something else? I was in total overwhelm. I was in my late 40s. I was working full-time. I was helping my husband with a business. I was looking after my daughter. I was trying to take care of parents. And there just wasn't any time for me. And that's when I looked over the parapet and said, whoa, something's got to stop. And my first step, as I explain in the book, was to move into something that I knew. And that was just more study, more learning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started doing an MBA. And from there, things moved on. But it was really getting to that point of saying, something has got to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Julie, what was it for you? What was your issue?
Well, my issue was very, very similar to Lynn's. And I really had lost who I was. I was Steve, Michelle, and Eric's mother. I was Wayne's wife. I was so-and-so's daughter, so-and-so's daughter-in-law, and really realized I didn't even know what I wanted anymore. And I did an awful lot, as Lynn said, you know, helping the family, helping my parents. And bottom line, it was really at one point where my mother really wanted more of me than I could give, and I had reached a point where it was like, okay, it's either her or me. I have to choose here because I'm going downhill. I can't keep this up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so saying no to my mother and putting myself in the equation in terms of she needs this and I need this and my needs are equal to hers, came down to a specific day where for the first time I said no to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost 50 years old.
Interesting.
And it was something that continued also for quite a while. Bless her soul, she's no longer with us. She did the best she could, obviously. And at the same time, I needed to claim my own life. And for me, that's what it was, really. And then I gradually started doing it elsewhere within the family, choosing myself and what I needed versus what I thought my children wanted or what I thought my husband wanted of me. Mm-hmm. In other words, a lot of times people really do want from us, but a lot of times we get stuck in believing that they want something from us, and a lot of it is in our own minds to some extent because we're so used to giving of ourselves.
I think the habit of that is part of the indoctrination that individuals go through. I've seen it happen with men as well as women, but women really seem to get the load a lot more. The mm-hmm. load is often put on males from a different perspective, but with the home fires and the home environment, et cetera, more frequently it is put on the female. Well, both of you have wonderful relationships. You have a very rich and a very full life. So each of you have been able to show and demonstrate that you as individuals were able to be true to yourselves and the world didn't collapse around you. However, some of the people you knew, when they saw this transformation in you, they really didn't like it, did they?
No, especially family members.
Tell us how they expressed their dislike.
Sometimes just by silence when I would say I was doing something or pursuing something new, going to a new course. Sometimes it was teasing from one of the family members. A lot of times what I was doing and what I had to say was just met with total silence as if I had never said anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ignored and everybody moved on as if, oh, okay, fine, you know, we're not listening. That was basically it. Being ignored more than actually anybody really coming out at me and being angry. Now, my mother, that was a different situation. She was angry at me and she verbalized her anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's but no one else did it.
Yeah, and I've seen it, too, where the kids often will say, well, how dare you? I mean, after all, you're my mother. Why mm-hmm. in the world wouldn't I come first? It's very interesting, all of these different scripts that people will adopt. So when you're following your own route of individuality, it is a do-it-yourself job. Nobody can do it for you. Now, you ask some questions in your book. You've got some wonderful exercises that someone can do. But you ask questions that I thought were very good. What dreams did you have when you were a child, a teen, or maybe earlier? What dreams did you just fantasize about? And have you followed any of those dreams? And if not, what stopped you? And I think those are pretty significant questions because anybody can ask themselves that question. And then what you can do is you have to be open enough to be willing to recognize the answers.
Absolutely. Sometimes the answers are very difficult to face. And yet, if we really do want to move forward, we do have to reflect and really look at what those answers are. And many times, it's within our power to change, to pursue something. Some things, perhaps it is too late in life, but some version of it might still be accessible to us.
I agree, and I think that's probably one of the limitations we have is that we look at things in with a box-like kind of thinking. If you're someone that maybe is in your 40s and you wanted to do at one time bungee jumping, well, maybe you don't need to do bungee jumping. Maybe that's not what you really want to do, but maybe you want to go mountain climbing instead
mm-hmm.
or do something else. You've got options to work with here. You're just not stuck without something.
Yes, exactly. You're right on target there. I call it a little bit of wiggle room to take that dream and what's possible from that dream, even if it's not exactly the way you had envisioned it when you were 15 years old or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a subject that you address that I think is a significant one. A lot of the points in your book, Your Life, Your Way, are very, very significant, but the emptiness syndrome. Now, I have seen this affect women profoundly. Even those women that have decided they were going to prepare themselves, they all of a sudden have the reality of it. No matter how much preparation you go through, you may not find yourself really recognizing what that change is going to mean. And I was talking with a woman just last week, and she said, it is really something. I didn't realize how it was undermining me psychologically. Address that issue for just a moment.
I think as women, we attach our life to that of our children, inevitably. We want the very best for them. We follow what they're doing. And perhaps we don't realize that it comes to a point when our children are actually going to get independent. They're going to want to make their own decisions. They're going to want to go their own way. They may leave home very early. They may start studying at university, whatever. And the thing that we don't allow ourselves to do as women is to start to prepare for that moment, to have our own interests and to keep our own interests right the way through. So for me, it was my daughter actually virtually, I say left home because she went to specialist music school at 13, which meant she was a boarder. That was a huge wrench for me.
Mm-hmm.
She's an only child as well. And so I had to learn, unfortunately it came when I was going through some early personal growth, I had to learn how to make the most of the time when she was with me, rather than feel bad about the time she wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a huge adjustment for me to have to make. So preparing, knowing that they're going to be independent and not resent the fact that the kids are going to go away. I think resentment creeps in, and that sours the relationship rather than keeping it sweet.
What would you say to that, Julie?
Well, I would just add, I agree with everything that Lynn has said, absolutely, and I would just add that as mothers, we have taken care of our children throughout their lives. We have typically been the ones who feel the most responsible for them and want them to have everything turn out well in their life. And to then start making sure that we have our own interests, in other words, that we are no longer just ready to jump and fulfill their needs or requirements or jump and be there when they want to visit, but to have our own interests, as Lynn said, to have our own life, our own interest, and really focus on that and focus on the good times that we do have with the children. And at the same time, it doesn't mean that we may not experience a challenge to continue to do that. I will be totally honest. My children are all in their 30s. There are three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been an empty nester for quite a few years now, and many times I still sit there and think, gee, I would really like to see one of my children, or I wonder what Eric's doing, and I'll pick up the phone and call one of my children. Yet I don't expect them to come running to mom and dad all the time, and there isn't any resentment, and yet we may miss them. We may miss them at times, and
mm-hmm.
that's okay, I think. And well, it's important to have our own lives, though, too.
I agree, and I think, let's be realistic, the likelihood of us living to be close to 100, if not over 100, is a lot higher than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
You know, that here we are, if we have children, by the time you reach your 40s, you can easily, as a person, have as many as four different careers, and I was listening to someone who's 75 who just yesterday talked about it on my show, 75-year-old woman went to the North Pole on skis. I mean, you wouldn't have heard of that 30 or 40 years ago. Here you have someone that's supposed to be in a rocking chair, according to a lot of people, had health problems, and she goes and accomplishes what most of us would say, you've got to be kidding, you're nuts. She goes on, she does it.
Yeah.
And it's a marvelous accomplishment. You know, that's a great thing. That's
a really good example of a dream.
It is. It's something she wanted to do. And so she went out and she did it. And I think that your chapter on if not now, when is so important. You have a quote by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It's only when we truly know and understand that we have a limited time on Earth and that we have no way of knowing when our time is up that we will begin to live each day to the fullest as if it was the only one we had. How many times have we heard that? I mean, that is so true. This is what we have. The past is the past. Mm-hmm. Today creates the future. So here we are today, and we're living it, we're experiencing it, we're doing what we want to do in the moment. People still, though, they will get so stuck with where they are. I have a friend that when she turned 70, she said, "My God, I'm 70. She just saw the big 70. I've known that to happen to people at 60, at 50, 40, even 30. It's amazing to me that that happens. But it does.
Oh, yeah. It truly does. And if we don't do it now, as you say, if we don't pursue our interests, if we don't start fulfilling our dreams, when are we going to do it? Because there is no guarantee, and I don't mean this in a negative way. No one knows the future. We live in the unknown all the time. And seize the moment. Live in the moment. And when there is something that we're really interested in doing, go for it. Because while you have the interest, while you have the energy, that's the time to do it. In another year or two, you may no longer want it. And, of course, someone might say, "Well, I don't want it anymore." However, at the time that you did want it, you could have been enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. There's a lot of different ways to look at everything.
I think that that's very, very important. And I think, again, you address so many wonderful, wonderful aspects of standing up to fear and dealing with all kinds of variables. And George Eliot's quote in here, "It's never too late to be what you might have been." How many people wallow in, "Gee whiz, if I'd only done this when I was 16, aye." And you get so tired of hearing that stuff. You really do. Because today's world really offers a lot of opportunity and more for women than ever before. And a lot of women are stepping up to the plate. And I think your book is a wonderful, wonderful textbook to a degree, although it reads very easily and very comfortably, and one can take it in a very personal way for themselves and use it as a marvelous tool.
I was just going to say thank you for the nice compliment about the book, and that is exactly what we wanted. When we wrote the book, our sole focus was on what is going to serve these women whom we want to reach, the ones who still have something to pursue and haven't pursued it or believe they can't. What is going to serve them, and how should this book be written? And that's where we continued to focus and kept it in a way that would be an easy read. And yet the questions that we ask, et cetera, are very powerful questions.
Mm-hmm. Very, very powerful.
Intended to be a coach.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
We've got a little time delay.
It was intended to be coaching.
Mm-hmm. And you do a very nice job of that in the book, Your Life, Your Way.
Thank you.
You do a very nice job. Ladies, what is your website? Because you're in France, Lynn, Julie, you're in Michigan. How can people find out more about your wonderful publication?
Should I take this one?
Yes, ma'am.
It's The Joys of Internet Doesn't Matter Where You Are, so that's really good. So it's www.essentialguideforwomen, all one word, .com.
Essentialguideforwomen.com. I want to, with the time that we have left, I want to go through your chapter in section 4, because you have these four portions to your book, and it is so important that people know that there are these sections to it so that they can understand that they can take it as they will and use it as they will. But let's talk about the richer life. And this isn't just about money. This is about the quality of life, I feel. And you ask four questions here. What is richness for you? What does it look like or feel like to you? What emotions are you comfortable with? What emotions do you try to avoid or suppress? That last question's a doozy. When you were putting this chapter together, what was the motivation behind putting this chapter into its place?
The main motivation was because we felt that people are up to making change. They make a change and then just immediately say, so what's next? And what we wanted people, our readers, to do was learn how to savor and celebrate the changes they've made, no matter how small, how large, and to see the richness of their life on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis. We say simple things like, take a few moments to go out, you know, if it's summer, to smell the roses in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to take a completely different perspective on riches. There are many, many books out there that are about making yourself rich, and it's usually monetary terms. And we wanted to give it a completely different slant. That's where all the questions came from.
I'd like to add to that, that many times we are looking for, and we'll use the word, happiness. I want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And yet life will not always run smoothly, or let's put it this way, life may not always be exactly the way we want it.
Sometimes it stinks.
Yeah, different things occur that can be pretty tragic at times. And yet, if we continue to truly experience all of it without wallowing in misery or becoming a victim or feeling that we are a victim, but to really live each moment and feel the richness in life, that was a piece that is missing from a lot of people's lives. It was missing from mine, that's for sure. I could never have said years ago that what a rich time it was during a tragic moment. And yet, tragedies can bring families together, and there can be a richness that results in the relationship.
Absolutely. But, Julie, you've got to tell your ice cream story. Your ice cream story. You've got to tell your ice cream story. I thought that was so cute. I loved that.
I was always known as a perfectionist. Always had my lists and did everything just right. And I reached a point where it was like, boy, I'm really getting tired of working so hard at trying to be perfect, even though I knew that there was nothing, no such thing as perfection. And yet I always felt inadequate. So that's why, of course, I was always pushing for it. And I was beginning to try to let things go and loosen up a bit. And it was my husband's birthday, and he wanted an ice cream cake. And I went to the store and bought him an ice cream cake, came home after doing all of my errands and unloaded my car, et cetera, started doing some household chores. And then I went into the freezer to look for something and all of a sudden noticed that the ice cream cake was not in the freezer. And I thought to myself, well, what the heck? And then it dawned on me, oh, my gosh. And so I ran out into the garage to the car, and this is at the end of May. We had very, very warm weather that day. And there on the floor of the back seat of my car was his ice cream cake all turned to mush. And in the past.
Oh, Miss Perfectionist. Oh, boy.
Oh, in the past, I would have just had a fit that how could I do something so stupid? How could I waste money? You know, you just don't waste money and waste time and whatever. And I started to go there and then stopped myself, and then I just laughed and laughed and laughed and told everybody about it. Of course, I went and replaced the cake, and I told my husband about it, and I continued to talk about it. I was so proud that I did something so foolish in my previous view. It would have been so foolish and stupid.
Mm-hmm. No, I love the ice cream story. That was so visual for me. I could just see you walking out there and seeing it all over the back seat of your car and going, oh, no, and I got to clean this stuff up. Oh, why did I do it? And then it's like when we started talking about it, it just made me chuckle because all of us have done something like that. And when we can turn around and we can laugh at it and realize that in the scope of the universe, 2 weeks from now, nobody's going to care, much less 100 years from now. And it's just interesting how we get stuck, isn't it?
It really is. We just get too serious about ourselves. We take ourselves too serious, and I will admit that it is something I have to still remind myself. Loosen up, let go.
Absolutely.
It's
I've
okay.
been there, done that. I so related to your stories. These two lovely ladies, Lynn Hull and Julie Molnar, their wonderful book is Your Life, Your Way, The Essential Guide for Women. But I'll tell you guys, it's got some good tips in there even men would enjoy. Their website is essentialguide.com, essentialguide.com. Ladies, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with me, Lynn Hull in France and Julie Molnar in Michigan. It's been a delight and a pleasure. Have a fabulous life.
Thank you, and you do the same.
Nice.
Thank you.
This
Bye-bye.
Is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. Here are the telephone numbers toll-free that you can call in to. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, you can call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. All I need from you is your first name or initial. Of course, I'm always interested in knowing where you're calling from. And so after that, then I'm delighted to tell you my mental impressions, and then you can ask me a question about whatever you like. So again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. Now, I had someone call and ask me about the Renaissance Fair that I've been talking about earlier. I did make the announcement at the beginning of the week, and I did it last week, too. The affair has been canceled. The event has been canceled and is being rescheduled for next year. There were some circumstances that were totally out of control, and so consequently, they weren't going to be able to have everything ready in time for the event at the first weekend in August. So that is the fact. So I just want to let those of you in the state of Washington know that that is why you have not heard me talking about it. Yes, I have been involved with it for a number of years, and I look forward to being involved next year as well. So, anyway, by the way, thank you for the wonderful stories that you're sending me and for the information. I get so much material from different people, and I really, really appreciate it. And if you have something special that you would like to make me aware of, then go ahead and send it to me at my email address, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's DELPHI international.com. And, well, then I will use it when I'm able to, depending on what the material is, and share it with my listening audience. So just know I'm always open to that, and I'm always interested in recipes and stories, people, animals, just about making this world a better place. I'm always interested in it. And someone asked me, Donna, do you get into politics? Nope. I figure there's enough conversation about that. And that's not my particular thing. So just keep that in mind. And just know that if I'm able to use your material, I definitely will. When we went to Russia in 1992, one of the things that we learned about Catherine the Great, who is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful woman, and she lived for quite a long time relative to her time frame in history. And this woman had a phenomenal amount of energy. And one of our guides said that she would be up early, early, early in the morning. And she would have a pot of coffee delivered to her. And she would drink that pot of coffee, having a little bit of food along with it, and she would work all day long. And that coffee just was absolutely mandatory every morning. Well, as it turned out, one time in her castle, there was an ambassador from another country. And he noticed that she was up very, very much earlier than anybody else was, and that she had attended to business. She was a very hard-working empress, and so he asked her, he said, how do you do this? I don't know how you can keep your energy up. She said, oh, it's my coffee. And he said, your coffee? She said, yes, here, have a cup. He had some and he passed out. Her coffee. Now just imagine this, and I know that there are those thousands of you out there that love your coffee. But when Catherine the Great had her coffee, a whole pound of coffee beans were ground for one cup of coffee. Talk about a caffeine rush. Man, what was going on in her body must have been just phenomenal. She did that every day of her life when she, you know, as a mature adult. So I came across information about another very well-known person that was extremely prolific as a writer. He drank approximately 70 cups of coffee a day. I was amazed to find out that this person was Voltaire, the wonderful writer. Fascinating stories about people. So coffee was around a long time ago, kept people awake and moving. With Voltaire, with 70 cups of coffee, probably had this odd handwriting just from the shakes of the caffeine. Donna's opinion, anyway. We've got a caller on the line. Let's take this caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Connie, and I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Connie.
Hi.
Are you cooking? Heat-wise.
Wet. Wet.
Yes. What are the temps in Phoenix? About 110?
Close. Close. It's like 104 right now.
Well, gee whiz, that's so cool. Uh-huh. I mean... few more degrees and you can fry your eggs on the sidewalk, but I bet you could do it right now. Okay, Connie, let's get down to business with you. Now, the first thing that I am observing in my mind is a sense of frustration. When I'm looking at the frustration, I want to say be thoughtful, because if you're not careful, you're going to be putting too much energy into the frustration and not looking at some options that you can work with. There are some changes that need to be looked at, and they are little by little sort of coming up into your space where you're going to be able to see those changes coming well in advance. So you're going to be able to make your shifts as you need to make them. but you are learning some new disciplines about paying attention to not just the big stuff, but the little stuff as well. And all of that is coming about quite nicely. It's coming about quite nicely. But it's frustrating to you because you want things to happen now. And instead, it's sort of in slow motion for you on certain issues in your life. But that's okay. It's, you'll catch up with it. You don't need to be too anxious. By the way, there is a spot in the back of your head, the upper part of the neck, and I hear this popping sound. And I think when you're stressed, if you're not really rested and you work at a computer for too long, or maybe you're involved in some activity where you keep your head at an odd angle, you need to know that that's not such a good thing to do. You need to be able to have some kind of an exercise where you move and stretch, maybe, you know, do a little bit of yoga, or just bend over, touch your toes, and pretend you're like a snake and just sort of, you know, come up very slowly and stretch and loosen up those muscles, because your stress is being located in that part of the body, and it can really hurt, and you can sort of put yourself in an uncomfortable positioning if you're not wise. I'm just watching you, and I just feel this fatigue. It's so strong. So I would encourage you to try to remember, if it's necessary to take a nap to get some energy back, go ahead and take that nap. That's okay. What question do you have for me?
Well, I am talking to a potential employer, and I'm hoping that I'll be on their payroll before the middle of August. Do you see that coming into culmination?
Well, I think the employer is doing some consideration. Right now, it's like 50-50. I'm not seeing it too much in either direction. I would like for you not to try to force this and, you know, work on getting someone else as well and see if you can have a backup here. So just allow that there is going to be a follow-through on this and apparently some more conversation, but don't let the frustration eat at you because you're not able to control things. Sort of let it go. Let it go, be aware of it, and occupy yourself in another direction that can give you the support you need.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
You have a good one now.
You
and keep cool.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or our direct line of 530-876-3222. What kind of money personality do you have? Ever wonder? Well, are you the type of person that's afraid to check your bank balances or your statements because you really don't know or want to know what's going on, or maybe you end up paying a lot of late fees or feel like you're never going to catch up with your finances? Well, there's a term that would be applied to you, and that's that you're somewhat of an innocent. Why? Because you're like the ostrich. You feel overwhelmed by finances, so you just simply ignore them, but that doesn't mean that those problems are going to go away. Mm-mm. So why not, if you find that you have a difficulty with that, work only with cash? Try that for about a month or so, and then you will find that you can keep an easier awareness and balance of what you've got. Now, if you're the type of person that spends more than 75% of your waking hours on your business or career, maybe you want to leave a legacy behind that you'll be remembered for. Do you have a dollar amount that you think you're going to need in order to retire and you keep increasing it? What kind of a person are you? Well, you're an empire builder. You're the type of individual that has a plan, financial goals, but your goals don't stay the same. They change. Usually they get bigger and bigger. You never feel like you're going to have enough. So don't try to make that such a big issue. Understand that you need to be able to enjoy the fruits of your labors, and you can take time in acquiring what you want. You're an empire builder. That's the description of that money type is. And if you save 20% or more of your income every year, if you never spoil yourself or your family, you only feel comfortable with the cheapest option, well, those are particular patterns that would go with a good saver. Now, that's the upside. By golly, you are a person who always has something squirreled away. You are always going to be prepared for the rainy day. The downside of that, you might not be good to yourself. You might not do for yourself what you should do and have fun. So try setting aside some money, whatever amount is comfortable for you, a month, a certain amount, maybe $50 a month, whatever, and spend it just on yourself. If you want, spend half of it on your family or friends. Maybe give some to charity. But give yourself permission to have that money and do with it as you will. Now, this is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, I can take your calls also. Ooh, I forgot to do that antipasto salad pizza. How does that sound? I'll share that recipe with you. Have some more information on money, too. So when we come back, we'll have more to share. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Marco May. Wherever you are, whoever you are, take care, because you deserve the best.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Linda from Holland, Ohio, outside Toledo, Ohio.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Linda, the first thing that I'm looking at with you is you need to really stay on course.
Okay.
You have a tendency to get sidetracked, and when I say that, I don't want that to be taken in the wrong way. You have a tendency to put other people first before yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, it's like, okay, I need to do this for myself, but I'll wait until I finish taking care of the cows or Mary Lou or John Doe or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then all of a sudden, your day's gone and you go, oh my goodness, I didn't get this done for me.
Right.
And that's so easy to do. So you need to be really thinking and recognizing what you're wanting to do for yourself. For example, if you had an exercise regimen that you wanted to do every single day without fail, before you took the dogs walking or anything else, that's what you would do. And that is important enough where you focus on that before anything else. And I say that, I know that's a silly example, but I think you get the message.
Mm-hmm.
This, it's happened to you so many times, you're getting mm-hmm. sidetracked,
mm-hmm.
that you get angry with yourself, and then you sort of give up on what your direction is. Don't.
Yeah.
Know that you're going to be able to do what you need to do for yourself, and I am looking at the fact that your health is of concern to you. Now, you're not an unhealthy person,
mm-hmm.
but you are sort of a preventative positioning. It's like, I want to make sure that I am in good health.
Mm-hmm.
I want to maintain the wellness. I just don't want to take this body for granted where I'm going to end up like some of the people that I've known in the family. And I want to say, go for it. It's your body. You're taking care of this chassis. And you don't need to be an extremist, but there are things that make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to do for yourself. So that's what you need to go for, hon. But stay true to your real objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And the other things, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
They'll catch up. They'll be taken care of.
Well, I feel like my work, and I've been working with a friend for a while, and that just takes up so much of my time. It literally just crowds out everything else almost.
What are you doing?
Well, I'm helping her with a book that she's getting together and writing, and it's you know, that's a good thing to help your friends, but it's just become all time consuming. I mean, I never knew that editing a book could be so amazingly crazy.
All right, now, oh, of course. I mean, that's just a given.
Yeah.
Now, your friend's book, how long have you been helping her with it?
About 3 months.
All right. And how much time are you giving to her?
Oh, 40 hours a week easy. You know, it's like a real job in a lot of ways.
Well, it depends on the book.
Right.
Now, is this something that's fiction or nonfiction?
It would be nonfiction. It's all on affirmations.
All right. What I would suggest that you do, and you're assisting your friend, and this means a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is she compensating you for your time, or are you voluntarily doing this?
Volunteering right now. I hope someday that changes, but who knows? I mean, I hope we write a book together someday.
Well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to do is really take an honest look. Keep a record, actual record,
mm-hmm.
of the amount of time that you're spending with her. Do it for 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And ask yourself, is it really necessary for you to do that? And let's say you put in 40 hours. Ask yourself, is there a better way of doing this?
Mm-hmm.
If it's her writing a chapter, and maybe you just need to sit down with your friend and you have to make a decision. If you want to volunteer your time to do it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really are wanting to do something else that's going to bring you an income, or you're wanting to focus on something that's particularly important to you, then you need to block out that time for yourself, and you will need to tell your friend,
mm-hmm.
I'm not available from 8 to noon, or I'm not available on Mondays. I'm not this, and you just need to set the parameters here.
And you think it's best to get that done first, what I want to get done.
Absolutely.
And then
what you're doing with her is volunteer time.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do for yourself comes first before her.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think you'll find that your editing position is going to be a lot more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
You need to ask yourself how you can become more efficient at what you're doing.
Right.
Piecemealing it is not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And also, there may be someone else that she can enlist if you're going to volunteer time. Say, maybe there's someone else can help you. And maybe you have to cut it back so that maybe there's just 16 hours a week that you give her.
Mm-hmm.
But these are choices you have to make. Nobody else can do them
right.
for you.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the case, that I need to start. I mean, it's just, it's fallen into place this way. It started out, you know, some, and then it got more, and as the project gets more complicated, sometimes it just becomes more. You know what I mean? And it's just slid this way.
Well,
and I need to make the sliding stop, you're saying.
Well, the thing is, this is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a friend here, but you can also reach a point where you say to her, you may need to have a professional editor do this.
Mm-hmm.
Not me.
Right.
And then she's going to have to pay for her time.
Right.
And that
definitely.
Could cost her anything from $3 a page to evaluate up to $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm. And that's worth something. Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
If she wants to do that, then you need to relinquish that positioning of being the editor if she's mm-hmm. willing to pay. Because that, or say, pay me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there comes a point when you need to ask yourself what your priorities are. And if you still want to volunteer your time, fine, go ahead and do it. But do it differently.
Right, that makes sense. No,
but I've got to go. I'm sorry. We're out of time.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You are welcome, and you have a fabulous day.
Okay. Thanks.
You're very welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, it's the Ghosts of Hollywood. Yes, we're going to have a spooky time, a fun time. Don't want to miss it. Be here. We'll be here right at bbsradio.com. Same time, same place. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.